It's becoming increasingly rare to enter into a conversation about education that doesn't include AI, usually ChatGPT. And typically, that conversation is an angsty one, pondering how kids might be misusing it or unthinkingly relying on it. I've been in some constructive conversations about chat, and there have been some very thoughtful pieces online about how it can be brought into the classroom in an engaging, thoughtful, and yes, fun way. But let's be real. Most of the conversations about artificial intelligence are nervous wonderings, if not outright plots, to foil students who are using it. And that's all of them, by the way. Welcome to What's the Big Idea? I'm your host, Dan Carney. This is the first of what I'm calling What's the Big Idea Flash Drafts, short commentaries on contemporary education. And this short episode is not about artificial intelligence per se, but it connects. More on that later. Recently, our 8th grade students took a trip to Holocaust Museum, LA. Following last year's bizarre, and in light of recent news, totally predictable, comments by Kanye West, along with the rising trend of anti-Semitism around the country, we took a quick detour from our curriculum to explore this troubling idea and its long history. The short unit culminated in a museum visit that, I hope, crystallized for everyone our discussions of hate, human behavior, and bystanders. This year's museum visit was a really special one. Students and chaperones were ushered into a library tucked within the museum's offices, and there, waiting for us, was an elderly man with exquisite posture. He was introduced to us as Joseph Alexander, a 101-year-old Holocaust survivor. Joe's Polish, and he lived through 12, yes, 12 camps, including Auschwitz and Dachau. I honestly thought the days of meeting survivors in person were over. Their ages and COVID, I mistakenly assumed, meant that these kind of face-to-face encounters were no longer possible. Joe's story was remarkable, tragic, and inspiring. If learning can be, at least partially, defined as experiences that change you, we all learned that day. Our students went home that night and reflected on our visit. Here's a sample of what they wrote. Joseph never gave up hope, and I think it was really amazing that he wasn't ashamed of telling his story. Joseph was proud to know that he's sharing his journey so people will be aware of what happened. For the last 70 years, a key part of Holocaust education has been survivors telling their stories, but soon there won't be any left to do that, so we have to take it upon ourselves to learn all that we can and pass that on to future generations, so that things like these people went through will not be forgotten. And finally, listening to this survivor's testimony is so much different than just reading a book or text, or listening to lectures in class, or watching films and documentaries about a survivor's story. Actually hearing about this survivor's story in person stands out so much more to me. These reflections illustrate the power of learning through the human story, of human connection, of making the broad narrow, the global, local, the masses, individual. Here was a man sitting before us in his trim black suit and gray Vans, making personal the history and literature of their studies. Earlier this year, to give one more brief example, we studied immigration as a lens through which to view America. During the unit, students interviewed a faculty or staff member with an immigration background, and for the final project, interviewed a family member, family friend, or neighbor who had a direct connection to immigration. Their learning, demonstrated through a podcast, was profound. Their questions were insightful, their reflections thoughtful. See, I'm not just talking about the power of story, that well-documented method of transmitting ideas. That's even more important in education, where narratives, to quote one author, ask us to reflect on our similarities, appreciate other perspectives, and negotiate our differences. But I'm talking here about face-to-face storytelling, or at least on the phone or FaceTime, putting students in a position to be the direct receptor of that story, to feel that ownership and the power of personal experience, especially when it connects to what they've been learning in class. Putting students in that position also puts them in a position to create something really special. Which brings me back to AI and ChatGPT. That tool does a pretty damn good job of spitting out the kind of writing that's often assigned in schools, especially informational, expository, persuasive. So it's no surprise that everywhere we look, there are teachers scrambling for ways to stop students from misusing this new tool, including some pretty gross things I've seen advertised on social media that are essentially about outwitting and fooling kids. And it seems like every other day I'm receiving emails from edtech organizations promising me ways to AI-proof my assessments. And that's all well and fine, but the goal should not be to proof our assessments, but to create authentic assessments where students find personal meaning, assessments that have a place in the real world. These can be based on lots of things, and here today I'm advocating for them to be based on human-centered experiences, specifically interactions with people that have direct connection to the subject matter. Want students to make connections about what they've been studying? Bring in a guest speaker with expertise on those topics. Want your students to see themselves in their work? Give them the time and space to meet with someone, like a neighbor, and reflect on that conversation. Don't want to play cat and mouse with your students over ChatGPT? Well, have them interview someone and use that interview as one of the main sources of their project, writing, speaking, etc. And I realize that not every assessment lends itself to this, and frankly, that's not even desirable. Variety in assessment is also really important. But I truly believe that that variety will be greatly enhanced by thoughtful, intentional, human-centered learning experiences. Merriam-Webster's word of the year for 2023 is authentic. We are firmly in an era when people are craving authenticity, paradoxically curating the best versions of themselves online while also trying to find their true selves and voices. Well, authentic has never had a more important place in education, and technology tools can sometimes make us forget that the best resources for bringing out deep student thinking and helping them produce something real that reflects their learning and themselves might just be living right next door.